Are there any parts of the Bible you wish that you could just ignore? Parts you wish that actually they just weren't there? Does Jesus say things which just that gets your back up? Sometimes he says things which really gets my back up. I'm like, that is really hard to hear. That's really hard to apply. And I'd rather you just didn't say it at all, really. Some people in our society, they like the things that Jesus says on certain morals about loving your neighbor. But they don't really like what he has to say on other things, like how he says that he is the only way to heaven and the only way of knowing God. Some people who claim to be Christians don't like what Jesus says either. So they just ignore it. Now, they may not do that in a particularly big, obvious way. But they could do it in a very subtle way. In September, I'm going to be training to be a vicar with the Church of England. And so I was visiting a few theological colleges around the place. And I was visiting one, and it all started off in this beautiful old chapel. And we had a reading from the Gospel of Luke. And read the first 10 verses, then skipped out the next 2 verses, and then continued reading. And we heard a lovely sermon on peace and love. And then I looked at those 2 verses and I was like, well, it seems a bit strange. Why would you just skip out 2? And I realized, well, because those verses were all about judgment. And this speaker didn't want to talk about judgment. This speaker didn't want to tell could-be vicars about judgment. So they just decided to ignore it. I was listening to a sermon by an incredibly famous church up in London. And again, the same thing happened. They were going through a number of verses, and then they just skipped out a few in the middle, and then they just continued on. They liked what Jesus had to say around it, but they didn't like the heart of the message. They didn't like that hard teaching Jesus had to say. And the problem with both those talks that I heard is that the assumption is made that the human teacher is wiser than God. God has made a mistake here. He didn't mean to put that hard bit there in the middle, so let's just ignore it. We don't need to worry about that at all. Now, if I'm being honest, I think that this might be one of those passages you slightly just want to skip over. You want to ignore. And as the teacher of it today, I really want to ignore it. I would much rather I was not the one asked to speak on it. Like, thanks, Giles. Thanks, Dick. Great. Thanks for putting me in it. So I've been asking God all week, please help me to teach these verses. Please help me not to be a coward and weaken them. And please help all of us here to see why it is good that God would tell us these things. Whether we've been coming to church for a long time, or whether we're fairly new to Christian things, or whether we're just looking into this Jesus guy, my prayer is that we would see why it is good that God would say these things. So let's pray now. Let's bow our heads. Dearest God, most Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are not silent. I thank you that you speak to us clearly in our own language. And I thank you that here today we can read it and that we can understand it and we can hear you speaking to us. Help us, Father God, to listen to these hard words. Help us to hear them, to understand them. And please give us the wisdom so that we may see why it is good that you have said what you have said. In Jesus' name, amen. I think we've had a rather exciting few weeks looking at this section of John's Gospel, also of links together, holds up as one unit really. And we saw 2 weeks ago Jesus declaring at the beginning of John 8, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And we saw last week why we would want to listen to Jesus. Alone we are dead men walking in a helpless state. Well, Jesus is the great voice box of God the Father, and we can trust everything that Jesus has to say. This week, we're going to see what makes a true disciple of Jesus. What makes a true disciple of Jesus? And Jesus, he gives us 3 marks of discipleship. The first mark, true disciples abide in Jesus' word. True disciples abide in Jesus' word. We've just found out at the end of our reading last week in verse 30 that many have started to believe in Jesus, which isn't that surprising really, given that John has written his gospel so that people would believe in Jesus. So it's not surprising that people have started to. What's interesting though is what Jesus does next. Verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." You see, accepting Jesus' word, accepting that he is the light of the world that has come to take his people out of darkness and into the light of life, that is only the beginning. For someone to be a true disciple, they must abide in Jesus' word. Almost live in Jesus' word. Be surrounded by it. Be cloaked in it. Be fully accepting of it. This isn't just a momentary thing. They must continue in it. Only then will they be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Only then will they be free. The words of Jesus are a truth that acts like a key that can set you free. And free from what, we may ask? Well, verse 34 to 36 gives us that answer. Please look down with me. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." The words of Jesus are a truth that will set you free from the slavery to sin. Alone you are shackled and you are helpless and you are trapped. But with the truth of Jesus you have a key that will set you free. What I find very interesting about these verses here, and something that I didn't spot at first, is that these words, actually they're written to new believers. But these people don't appear to be true disciples. They've started to believe, but they don't appear to be true disciples. Jesus makes his statement about abiding in his word in verse 31 to those who have already believed in him. Then, verse 33, they answered him. And we must assume that they are those who have just believed. And then in verse 34, Jesus answers them. And yet, in verse 37, in Jesus' answer to these people who have just believed, he says, "I know that you are the offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you." What? These people who have believed in Jesus, we now find out are going to try and kill him because Jesus' word finds no place in them? In reality, these believing people, they believe, but they're not abiding in Jesus' word. They're not living in Jesus' word and letting his word live in them. And once I understood that, well, then suddenly verse 35 made so much more sense. It says, "The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever." Now this illustration makes sense. These people who are believing, now they're slaves. They're slaves within the house. But because they're only slaves, they're not going to remain in this house for very long. To be free and to remain in the house, to remain in the home, you need to abide in Jesus' words. They need to be freed by the Son. Something just believing is not going to achieve. Why is it then that those people who initially believe, why is it that they're not true disciples? Surely that's good enough. Well, our second mark of a true disciple helps us with that. Number two, true disciples hear Jesus' word. True disciples hear Jesus' word. Now these aren't my words. These are Jesus' words. And they're shocking. And maybe this is the particular bit which I'd like to cut out. Jesus is saying that those who hear his words and accept them do so because they know and they love God. Thus, when they hear Jesus speak, they are hearing the voice of someone who they know and they love. But those who refuse to hear Jesus' words refuse because they are listening to another voice. Verse 38, Jesus says, you do what you have heard from your father. And verse 44 tells us who this father is. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. These so-called believers in reality cannot stand to hear Jesus' words because they are listening to a louder voice. They are obeying a stronger desire. They are children of the devil himself. And the devil is a liar who loves lies, and Jesus is the truth who speaks the truth, and thus these lying, loving devil's children will never be able to abide in the truth-speaking Jesus and his words. So Jesus concludes his statement to them, verse 47, whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. Goodness, so what does it mean then to hear? What does it mean to hear? Those believers in verse 30, they heard and they believed. Surely that's enough. Surely that's all you need. Well, sadly, Jesus' word seems to imply not. To hear, you need to believe, yes. But you need more than that. To really hear, you need to believe and then obey. You need to be like Abraham. You need to do the works of Abraham. And Abraham, he is a fine example of this. He heard the voice of God and then he believed it and he obeyed it and he followed it. When God told him, you need to move your entire family to another country, Abraham heard it, he believed it, and then he obeyed it. When God told him that circumcision is a sign for the covenant, Abraham believed him and obeyed him and followed him, and all the males in his household were circumcised. To hear the words of Jesus is to hear like how Abraham heard. It's about hearing and believing and obeying. These believing Jews, they don't seem to like this very much. They don't want to be told that they need to hear Jesus' words and abide in his word. They think they're fine. They think they're fine because they have the offspring of Abraham. Abraham, the great ancestor of the Jewish people. They can trace their line all the way back to him, to the one who kick-started the whole Jewish race. They can trace their line, their ancestry back to him. And thus they consider themselves to already be the children of God. They don't need to abide in Jesus' words. They don't need to really hear Jesus' words. They've got Abraham's blood running through their veins. But the reality is good breeding is not going to help you here. Just because you are from the right family does not make you of God. Those who really hear Jesus' words, they're the ones who are of God. And those who refuse to listen, they're of the devil. That is pretty dramatic, isn't it? It means that you could have been baptized as a baby, but it doesn't mean you're of God. It means you could have been raised as a churchgoer, but it doesn't mean you're of God. It means you could be a really moral, good person, but it doesn't mean you're of God. It means you could have accepted Jesus once into your heart, but it doesn't mean you're of God. You are really of God only if you really hear Jesus' words. A hearing that leads to obedience and action. Our third mark of a true disciple. Our third mark of a true disciple. True disciples keep Jesus' word. True disciples keep Jesus' word. And we see this in verse 51. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Now, the call to keep Jesus' word is pretty high, isn't it? If you keep it, then you're never going to see death. That is appealing. But what word are we to keep here? Well, the same word which we saw a few weeks back in verse 12. The same word which is echoed here in verse 58. Now, in verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He's making a massive claim about his very identity, that he is a divine light and he alone can take you from darkness into life. And in verse 58, he echoes a part of that. Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus, yet again, is making a statement about his identity. I am is an ancient name of God. God told Moses, the great Jewish leader who led the people from Israel out of slavery, God told Moses hundreds of years earlier, I am who I am. And that was his name. I am who I am. Thus, when Jesus makes his statement in both these verses, I am, he is making a statement about his very identity, that he is not just a mortal man, but he is God himself. Indeed, that is the only way to make sense of verse 58. Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Yet Jesus is only around 30 years old, and Abraham's been lived and dead hundreds of years before. And Jesus is claiming that he was before Abraham, that he predates Abraham, a claim that only makes sense if Jesus is no ordinary man, but God himself. This then is the word a true disciple needs to keep. They need to hold tightly onto the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. They need to store this in their heads and in their hearts and on their lips, that Jesus is no ordinary man, but he is the Son of God. Now the rest of verse 48 to 59, it gives us a pretty clear example, really, of people who refuse to do this. The conversation between Jesus and the whole Jewish crowd now. And this crowd, it is turning murderous. This crowd, that it thinks that Jesus, he is more like a demon than he is like God. The crowd thinks that Jesus, he is more like a liar than a truth teller. And when they finally understand that Jesus is claiming to be God himself, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am, they pick up stones and they try and kill him. Now Jesus said these people were children of the devil. He said that they were slaves to sin, and now we see the proof of it. They totally reject Jesus and they try and kill him. I think this passage, I think it is hard to hear, but I also think it is good to hear. It is good because we need to know the truth. And it is good because God makes it very clear. There is such a thing as a fake disciple. A fake disciple, they may have an initial burst of faith. They may, in the hype of the moment, accept Jesus for who he is and accept him into their hearts. They may do Christianity Explored, and they may think that Jesus is great. But this initial excitement, this burst of faith, it is not enough. They are fake. They believe, but they do not abide in Jesus' words. They believe, but they do not hear Jesus' words. They believe, but they do not keep, hold on to Jesus' words. And thus we ask the question, was the belief they had ever real? Or was it just a bit of excitement in the moment? Now, we may beg and we may really want it to be real. We may look at people we love, our friends and our family. We may want to believe that, yes, they are Christians, just because at one point they had a burst of faith. But just because we want it, it doesn't make it so. A fake disciple will believe in Jesus at first, but then turn their back on him. Last year we did a community survey around the streets here. And we were knocking on loads of doors and just asking one really simple question. How would you describe God in one word? And our prayer was that this simple question would lead into a good conversation about Jesus Christ. I met a woman. She'd been retired for many years. She said that she had once believed in Jesus. She'd once even taught at a Sunday school. But no more. Oh, now she just didn't really have the time for him. He may be there, he may not be, but she no longer cared. And her answer to the question, how would you describe God in one word? Irrelevant. At one point she did believe in Jesus, but she's no longer abiding in his word, no longer accepting that he is the Son of God. And thus we can only conclude on the evidence which we have been given that she is a fake disciple. But if there is such a thing as a fake disciple, then there is also such a thing as a true disciple. The words of Jesus, they are hard to hear. But within that, they're also deeply encouraging. Because it is very simple to know if you are a true disciple. Are you abiding in Jesus' word? Are you accepting that Jesus is the light of the world, that he is the one who can take you from darkness into light? That he is the one who can set you free from your captivity to sin and bring you into the light of life itself? Are you abiding in this word? Because if you are, then you are a true disciple. Are you hearing Jesus' word? When you hear Jesus speak, do you hear the voice of the one that you know and the one that you love? When you hear Jesus speak, do you hear the voice of God himself speaking to you? When you hear Jesus speak, are you hearing it and then obeying it, like how Abraham obeyed? Because if you are, then you are a true disciple. Are you keeping Jesus' words? Are you holding on to them tightly, keeping a firm grasp onto the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, storing it within your heart and within your head and within your lips? Because if you are, then you are a true disciple. When we were doing our community survey, we knocked on a door and an older gentleman answered. We told him the question, and as soon as we had, he had an answer ready. And his answer came in a rich, deep, rumbling voice. Redeemer. This man is a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Because many years ago, he believed in Jesus. But today, he is still abiding. He is still hearing. And he is still keeping Jesus' words. So to conclude, there are some hard words in the Bible. Now, they're hard to hear and they're hard to teach and they're hard to read. But it is good that God has told us them. It is so good that he just doesn't leave us in ignorance, stumbling around in the dark. It is good that he tells us the truth so that we can see. So that we can see the reality in our own lives and the reality in the lives of the people around us. It is good because then we know an initial burst of faith, that's not enough. It's not enough to make us a true disciple. To be a true disciple, we must be someone who abides, who hears, and who keeps Jesus' word.